Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes a neophyte devotee offers all the paraphernalia for worshipping the Lord, and he factually worships the Lord as the deity. But because he is envious of the authorized devotees of Lord Vishnu, the Lord is never satisfied with his devotional service. Purport. Deity worship is especially meant for purifying the neophyte devotees. Actually, however, preaching is more important. In Bhagavad Gita 18.69, it is said, Nacha tashman manushyeshu kaschin me priya kartamaha. If one wants to be recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must preach the glories of the Lord. One who worships the deity must therefore be extremely respectful to the preachers. Otherwise, simply worshipping the deity will keep one in the lower stage of devotion. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Amo Hare 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 Krishna. So, continuing our discussion of this chapter entitled The Ideal Family Life, in the previous verse, we understood that because the great sages and the saintly persons saw mutually disrespectful relations or dealings in the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship was introduced, and this verse, a very revealing verse, wherein it is explained that a person who does his deity worship with tremendous faith, it is said, samshraddhaya, with great faith, and with all the required paraphernalia, he worships the deities. With all his faith, with all the paraphernalia, he worships the deities. But it is said, if he is envious, or he is not having good relations with the Lord's devotees, Lord is never satisfied with his devotional service. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It's simply a useless waste of time for him. Just imagine a situation like this, which apparently looks so wonderful. Somebody is having a lot of faith and a lot of respect to the deities. He's spending a lot of time with the deities, giving all the paraphernalia which are used to deity worship. But this verse is very, very ruthlessly saying this fact. It is a very ruthless verse in one sense for people who are in the situation that he does. It's not that he is worshipping something abstract. He's worshipping the deity. He's worshipping the deity in a form of Krishna. But simultaneously, if he does not have loving relationship with his devotees, he's envious with the preachers. He's saying the Lord is never going to be pleased by it. Just the other day we were discussing this beautiful episode, the life of this great Vaishnava Acharya, Kanchipurna. Kanchipurna was one of the great Acharyas in the Sri Sampradaya, one of the bona fide Sampradayas of the four Sampradayas. And his worshipable deity is the deity of Varadraj, which is still present in this very holy place, Kanchipuram, in South India. So this devotee had such an amazing relationship with this deity of his, that he would actually fan the deity every day. And while he would fan the Lord would start talking to him in a very personal way. How was your preaching today? How are your disciples? What's happening? And just as like we talk to friends. Every day he would fan the Lord and he would talk to the Lord. Very, very intense relationship he had with his deity. Very close. So one day his disciple asked, Gurudev, you always talk to the deity. You always are very close to deity. Can you please ask tomorrow when you go, that will I ever go back to Godhead? You talk, why don't you ask the Lord? The Lord is all knowing. So he said, definitely I'll ask. So while Kanchipurna the next day was fanning the deity, he remembered that he is supposed to ask this. He asked the Lord, Varadraj, beautiful deity, four-handed form of Varadraj, beautiful deity. And the Lord said, yes, your disciple is going to definitely come back to the spiritual world after this life of his, for sure. Just tell him that. He should have 100% faith. And Kanchipurna went to his disciple and said, you are successful. You are going to go back to God at this life. No problem. And then after he spoke this, he said that I have been talking to the Lord for so many years and I have never asked about myself. That is the nature of a great devotee. He is not bothered about his own personal situation. But when he asked about his disciple, he felt the desire that let me ask about myself. So next day while he was fanning the Lord, he asked the Lord, Lord, by the way, I asked about my disciple yesterday, but what about me? Will I go back to Godhead? And the Lord, without even a second of a gap, he said, no. And this was very surprising. I mean, not that he was proud or something, but he said, the Lord, why am I not going back to Godhead? I mean, and I happen to be his guru. And the Lord said, because he is worshipping you and you are worshipping me. A devotee who worships my devotee is more dear to me than somebody who worships me directly. And guess what did Kanchipurna do? He left his fan down and went to serve a devotee. A beautiful story which continues. So not that Kanchipurna was envious of devotees. But from this beautiful story we understand a very, very critically important principle of respect to Vaishnavas. We understand that our scriptures, they talk about three categories of Vaishnavas. The Kanishta, the Madhyam, and the Uttam. And as our Shastra explained in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, these categories of Vaishnavas are very clearly explained. He said, he who engages in worshipping the deity as Bhagwan Sri Hari with ordinary faith received through some lineage of worldly teachers, but who does not engage in worshipping Sri Hari's devotees, is a Kanishta Vaishnav or a neophyte Vaishnav. And then it is explained that he who offers his love to the Supreme Lord Sri Bhagwan remains a sincere friend to all Vaishnavas, shows mercy to the innocent, and through the most appropriate use of indifference, tolerance, or even complete avoidance, neglects those who are envious of Bhagwan and the Vaishnava is a Madhyam Vaishnav. So for a devotee, it is important to really rise from this Kanishta platform to the Madhyama platform. Because the Kanishta sees the Lord present in the deity form. He is very respectful to the deity. But as this verse is very beautifully explaining, even though he might have a lot of love for the deities, he might have a lot of faith in the deities, but simultaneously, parallelly, if he does not have love and respect for the Lord's devotees, which is a Madhyama platform, the Lord is never going to be happy with him. So what do we understand from this verses that I explained in the Bhagavatam is that we need to learn to see Krishna in the heart of every living entity. It is said that every living entity, there is Paramatma present. There is this beautiful verse that we came across. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to this verse, Bhagavad Gita 9.11, when he says that there are three kinds of devotees of the Lord. A neophyte is the lowest category. So we are talking about the neophyte category here in the verse. The neophyte devotees give more attention to a deity in the temple than to other devotees. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, he warns that this sort of mentality should be corrected. If we want to make progress in Krishna consciousness, Chakravarti Pad is warning us that we need to correct this mentality. A devotee should see that because Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma, everybody is embodiment or the temple of the Supreme Lord. So, as one offers respect to the temple of the Lord, one should similarly properly respect each and every body which is in which Paramatma dwells. Everyone should therefore be given proper respect and should not be neglected. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Everyone should be given respect and should not be neglected. And that's exactly what is Vaishnava culture all about. If you're talking about Chaitanya Charitamrita, being the postgraduate study of spiritual life, what is Chaitanya Charitamrita talking all about? It's all about dealings of Vaishnavas. How a Vaishnava deals with other Vaishnavas. So this is a very, very important aspect that a devotee needs to be focused about. Because if we cannot respect the Lord's devotees, how are we going to ever respect the other living entities? And we do not respect the other living entities, how can we preach to them? We are talking about preaching in this verse. But we need to respect the living entities to preach to them. Because if you don't respect, how can you preach? It's not a preaching required that you need to look down upon them and you need to have that sort of disgust with them, then you can preach. There needs to be a genuine respect for them. And because we respect them, we are compassionate to them. And because of that, we feel, because they are suffering because of being forgetful of Krishna, we feel the need to preach to them. So if we are not even able to see Krishna in the heart of the devotees, it is a very far out idea to really see Krishna in the heart of other living entities who are not really naturally showing the signs of devotees. So if we try to analyze today that why are we not able to respect the devotees? What is the reason? What happens exactly that we are not able to respect devotees? That is the biggest problem. That we say sadhu sanga sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. Even though the fact is that there is so much powerful mercy and so powerful advancement available in associating with the Lord's devotees, still it is so difficult to associate with the Lord's devotees. Why? Because Maya knows that sadhu sangha is a birthplace of bhakti. It is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that sadhu sangha is a birthplace of bhakti. Wherever there is intense sadhu sangha, bhakti devi takes her birth there. It's a powerful sangam. And Maya is always trying to create a situation where devotees do not make progress in Krishna consciousness. And she knows the power of sadhu sangha. So she creates a situations in the dealings amongst devotees by which they will not be able to make progress in their Krishna consciousness by sadhu sangha. Why? Because they are not able to really properly associate with the devotees. So there's a beautiful article that we come across of His Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. And he analyzes this situation very wonderfully. I was just discussing with him a few years back when we met. And he was saying that the society of devotees, when they're filled with the Kanishta idea, they cannot be proper loving relationships. And what is the Kanishta idea? It is not just saying that, you know, I would respect the deities and I don't respect the devotees. Many times, the devotees may be spent 10, 15 years in Krishna consciousness. Many times we understand that Kanishta means a person who is just new, is a neophyte. But you could be a neophyte after spending 25 years in Krishna consciousness. How? He was explaining. He said that is not just Kanishta means just that you don't, you worship the deities and don't respect the devotees. But he also explained that one, if somebody thinks that my guru is special and everybody else's guru is not so important, that is also a Kanishta understanding. And why is he thinking that my guru is special? Because I am his disciple. My guru is special and the next statement after that is, and I am his disciple, so I am special. And I'll respect only those who are my God brothers and God sisters, or those who are connected to my guru, and rest everybody is, in a, as we say, Ekala Ishwara Krishna Ashokala Bhritya. That only Krishna is the truth, everything else is false. Similarly, my guru is the only truth and everybody else is false. That is a Kanishta understanding, and many a times we see this prevalent in our society. And it creates such difficulties in relationships. And this is the Kanishta understanding. And what is the reason of this? This Kanishta understanding arises from false ego. It is the root of all problem is false ego, of identifying ourselves in a false way. In a false ego, the devotees cannot develop friendship with each other. You know, we've seen this example of Daksha and Lord Shiva. It's a beautiful long story. We are not going to discuss the whole story. But we saw there's so powerful false ego prevalent, and to what it led to. Daksha was very, very egoistic, and he saw that this Lord Shiva, who is my son-in-law, is not offering respects to me. He became very angry. He left the assembly. And they said, how can this yagya take place? And next time he didn't invite his son-in-law because he can't respect me. So we become very choosy in whom we want to be close. If he respects me, if he loves me, if he really adores me, I am his best friend. If he doesn't give my sense gratification, which I need from glorifying me, I reject him. So it's based on false ego. And with false ego, what happens? When there's false ego, we see each other through the desire of getting prestige, power, lab, puja, and pratishtha. This is a very, very dangerous situation. We have this LSD, which is a drug which hallucinates you. But we have this lab, puja, and pratishtha, LPP. LSD and LSD can hallucinate your body. I mean, you can feel something which is not there. Hallucination is what? Something distorted. When people test drugs, they have a distorted understanding that I am flying, or the world is something which they feel which is not. But this lab, puja, and pratishtha, they are like subtle drugs which hallucinate you in feeling what you are not. And you start finding a lot of comfort in prestige and fame, and you measure devotional service on material standards. Now, what does it mean to measure devotional service on material standards? Material qualities impress you. Then what happens is one thinks that he's great because of his material qualities. Yeah, that I'm a temple president, or I am a particular temple commander, or I am a book distributor who has just got his name of coming for continuously 5 times in the list of being the top distributor in my temple. So we try to find satisfaction and happiness through some certain positions that we get in our life. So then because we get satisfaction in our own positions, what happens? We continuously criticize the devotees. We feel that someone is not doing the way I am doing. And that's why we constantly criticize. And we also find out why this devotee is not glorifying me. I'm doing something so great. Why is he not glorifying me? And we find it because he's envious of me. So we try to label a neophyte devotee is constantly carrying these tags that he is envious, he is proud, he is angry. So he carries these tags and he's tagging the devotees constantly. But why is it that some devotees, senior devotees, are not glorifying you? Because they are not seeing the material advancement that you have made, but they want to really see some good spiritual progress that you have made. And they want to glorify some spiritual progress, not necessarily the material progress of the natural growth or material levels, that positions that you have, that they are going to glorify. So slowly what happens, that when he tries to develop this desire of self-glorification, then he pretends to be more advanced than he is. Because he understands from the scriptures that this is the level I need to reach. And he realizes his actual position is much lower. So what is there? There are 2 ways to bridge this gap. Right? One way is to really reach that level. Right? Or maybe 3 ways to reach this. One way is to actually work hard, develop spiritual qualities, and to reach the level which you want to really aspire to reach.
Other way is to bring this level down. That to bring the whole level down, you know, that I can't reach it, though just I'm fine with my mediocre spiritual life. But the third one, which is the most dangerous one, is to really act on that level when you are not, or to show to the people that you are on that level when you are not. Isn't it? That people think that, oh, you are a great devotee. You are a Paramahansa Mahabhagavat. That, you know, there is, people have, you know, there was one speaker, I think Sachinandan Swami Maharaj was telling, that people behave like Paramahansas when they are not. So he said, this is called the PP syndrome. And I said, what is, this is a premature Paramahansa. You know, he's a prematurely behaving something which he is not. So he tries to bridge this gap of what he's not able to reach by you know, wrongly applying this statement that if you can't make it, fake it, right? We have this statement, you can't make it, fake it. He fakes so often. I mean, sometimes when you tell a lie so often, you start believing that it's truth, is it not? You say some lie that so and so, a same lie repeated too often becomes the truth. So he's faking so often that becomes the truth. And then he starts believing that he's on that level. So because he believes on the level and because he is trying to act on the level, what happens if you analyze it? That he tries to conceal his shortcomings and fall downs. He tries to cover them because whatever they are, you try to just cover them up because he doesn't want people to get knowing about his shortcomings and fall downs. And in doing so, as we were analyzing, he creates a very secretive mentality. A mentality of holding on, and he doesn't enter into open and honest relationship with devotees. Because, you know, he wants to keep things to himself, and, you know, Guhyam Akhyati Prachiti, the six loving exchanges with Rupa Goswami is saying, which will increase the relationship with devotees. And one of the two of the six are to reveal one's mind in confidence and to hear somebody else's mind in confidence. But a person who is acting something which he is not, he cannot engage in open, honest relationship because he's always scared to expose himself, expose his fallen condition. And because he cannot reveal himself, what happens? He slowly, slowly starts living a very aloof life. He might be surrounded with thousands of devotees. This is a very interesting situation. You could be staying with hundreds of devotees, but still you could be completely lonely in your life. You could create this fortress around you. You could create this wall around you. Not a fortress, because fortress protects you, but this wall is actually dangerous. It's destroying you. And you could create this wall, and you do not allow people to come inside this wall. Why? Because I don't want to be really exposed to myself. So you could be with devotees, but he said, don't come from beyond this point. This is my personal life. Don't interfere in their life. And he remains aloof. What happens when he remains aloof? He slowly, slowly starts straying from the devotional principles. It is said that it is lonely up there. I said that, you know, it's very lonely up there. That means when you grow in your spiritual life, we were analyzing, we were at Shrida Mayapur for the ILS festival, I mean, a few months back. We were analyzing that when a devotee first comes to Krishna consciousness, he has complete faith that I am the most fallen and everybody is worshipable. Everybody is a pure devotee. Just think about the time when you came to Krishna consciousness first time. You saw every devotee as worshipable and you saw yourself to be useless. I'm nothing. I don't know. I'm not chanting any rounds. I don't have attraction. But as you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, you see that not all devotees are pure devotees. Some of them have material traits. But yes, I am fallen. We still believe that you are fallen. But as you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, you realize that there are more and more devotees who have difficulties. They're not exactly pure devotees. They are not exactly the way you thought they were. And you also realize that I'm also not that bad after all, you know. I'm quite okay. I sometimes when I stand in front of it is 2-3 tears come in my eyes, you know. So I mean, I have some love for Krishna. And once my hair was standing on hand also. I saw it. So I'm not that bad after all. You know, and then as you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, if you are not properly situated, of course, if you are not rightly situated, if you are not been nourished by proper spiritual life and proper sadhana, then you go on to think in due course that everybody is useless. Nobody really understands me. Nobody really understands my love for Krishna. And better to be remain aloof from all of them. And many times we think, how can I, for those who are not in this situation, we say, how can I ever go in this situation? But if you are not understanding the importance of associating with devotees, and you don't have a humble disposition, then you could be in this situation. And that's why many, many senior practitioners of spiritual life had difficulties in their spiritual life. And the reason being, because they find themselves becoming very aloof from equal association. And that's why we call equal association the challenging benediction. It is a benediction to associate with devotees, to have equal association, because they are the people who are going to help you when you are in difficulty. Senior devotees, we love to be with them, no doubt. They are so inspiring. But even if you want, how much of the association can you really get of senior people? We might not get a lot of association of them, time-wise. The juniors will constantly glorify you, Prabhu ki jai. You are great, Prabhuji. You know, you are revealing the path to me, and they will glorify you, and you feel nice that yes, after all, I'm a revealer of the path to this person, and you know, and many of such people glorifying you, you feel very comfortable to be in the environment, because nobody really corrects you. They all see you as something wonderful and something great. So the natural desire of the mind, which is wanting to take you away from Krishna, is to remain in the association of juniors and to be in the association of seniors. But you try to systematically avoid equal association. Why? Because it is in equal association that they will tell you, my dear friend, you know, you might be pitching to 1,000 people outside, but you are constantly sleeping during japa. I mean, you know, that please be careful. You know, or you are eating up your words. You gave a japa retreat recently. You give a japa retreat, but you know, you are not really doing your own japa very properly. You might be inspiring others for chanting. What about your own sadhana? So many times we try to avoid systematically the equal association. That's why it is a benediction, but it is very, very challenging to associate with equals. So we slowly stray from the path of Krishna consciousness. And even if people want to help us while we are straying on the path of devotional service, our equals, they might not be able to help you. Because number one, you can't really tell your difficulties to them, because you believe that if I tell my difficulties to them, that means I am admitting my subordination to them, which your ego does not allow you to do. Then no, how can I reveal my problems to him? Because if I reveal, that means I'm revealing my subordination to them, which your ego will never allow. So systematically, you are in a mess. You are getting more and more into a mess, but you don't want to reveal the mess that you are in. You are aloof. And you get into a bigger and bigger and bigger problem. And at the same time, because you are a wonderful actor, you are acting so wonderfully that the world thinks that you are a wonderful devotee. You're nice. This is a typical neophyte mentality. And because we have this, and because the neophyte, if you analyze it more, because he has this secret misgivings about himself, he knows his problems, then how does he really convince himself that he's not that bad? By finding faults in others. And we say, well, I might be bad, but this person is much more worse than me. So I'm not that bad. You know? This is the way he tries to convince himself. And then as we grow in spiritual life, externally, we try to, you know, substitute spiritual growth to material growth. That if now, you know, from I came as an ordinary bhakta, and now I am XYZ, I have a particular position in my life. So he accredits his spiritual growth to material growth. And you can grow in your spiritual organization also through manipulation and through politics. You could grow. Not necessarily that, you know, sometimes by your manipulation and by your behavior, you could grow in materially also. But that might not necessarily be because of your spiritual advancement. So this is the great danger in spiritual organizations. Because Maya is systematically trying to poison our mind. That's why you see great devotees, they're always hankering for equal association. That is, a few years back, I was at Shida Mayapur for the installation of the Panchatattva deities. And we had His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj. It is his last few days that he was in Mayapur before. After the installation, he left his body few days after that. And, you know, I was just leaving. I was very close. He was based in Bombay and we were really working together very closely. So I was leaving Sridhar Mayapur and went to his room. And outside his room, on the main door, there was this big sign saying, devotees are allowed to meet Maharaj between 2 and 4 p.m. only. Because obviously he was sick and he couldn't really meet everybody. But there was a second line below saying, but God brothers and God sisters are allowed anytime. So it was such a revelation that Maharaj was teaching by his example that at this last moments of my life, you know, obviously I need to take rest because my health is bad. But God brothers and God sisters are allowed anytime because they are the people who are going to give me nourishment. They are the people who are going to really give me the shelter which I need. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, none of the world knew, but it happened to be his last few days in the material world when he was Shridham Mayapur. And we knew that one of his greatest desires and greatest ecstasies was in the evening after the GBC meetings were over. He would call all his God brothers, Niranjan Maharaj, Shivaram Maharaj, and Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, many of them, and he would call them to his room. They said, we should do kirtan for hours here. And they would do kirtan in the room and Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj would sit in one corner, which was unlike him. He would always be the leader. But in what was he teaching? He would sit and just play kartals. And he said, this is the most important part of the Mayapur GBC meeting, he said. Devotees coming together and doing kirtan together. God brothers, equal association through kirtan. We also see in the case of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And what a loving relationship he had with his godbrother, Radhanath Maharaj. And how he wanted to spend his last few days with his godbrother so that he could get the nourishment and the care. So what really, and of course the last line, one of the last few sentences that Maharaj wrote and which was very revealing, he said, we should all, it was his realization after years of spiritual practice, he said, we should all remember that all we have is each other. What a deep statement he made. That all we have as devotees is each other. So we should understand that we need to get out of this Kanishta mentality and come to the Madhya mentality. And it will be incomplete if we don't discuss on how do we really come to this Madhya platform. If we realize that we are in a Kanishta platform, how do we really come to the Madhya platform? As at the first way is we should sincerely learn to respect the difference of behavior in devotees. Because not all devotees can behave the way you think is right. And many times when we see the behavior amongst devotees, you just want to make a judgment. You become very judgmental that, oh, he is not behaving rightly. And he is behaving rightly. Many times we see two devotees behaving, and apparently they might not be behaving rightly and we make a judgment that they are useless devotees. I'll just give you my own example. Many years back, when I first went to the yatra, we have these yatras at Radha Gopina temple. We go on spiritual yatras. I was preaching to one devotee. This was his first yatra and the first day in Sridham Mayapur. The buses were all ready to leave for a particular spiritual place. I was sitting in the bus excited because he had heard so much about the yatras. He was really excited. He was sitting on the window seat. And while he was sitting on the window seat, he saw two senior devotees bitterly fighting with each other. And he saw that. He said, these two devotees are the people whom I really respect and adore. And the way I see them bitterly fighting, it was really confused and really upset. I said, my God, I thought I want to come to spiritual life to be away from all these fights, but it's the same story here also. So he phoned his friend who was also coming to the yatra the other day. He said, don't come. It is the same thing in this organization also. I'm also coming, but you know, this devotee was a Marwadi. And Marwadis are very, and they want to make sure that every penny that they spend, they want to. He said, I've spent all the money, so I'll attend 2-3 days, you know, and come. So you don't come, but you know, it is simply a waste of time. So you don't waste your money. So he saw this, he was very upset the whole day. And I remember I met him, and he was so upset. I said, what happened? I said, no, everything's fine. But I could see from his face, he was really dejected. He was feeling like cheated. Because he saw these devotees, and he made a judgment about them. But lucky for him, the next day he sat in the bus, dejected of course, just there to just utilize the money that he has spent for a few days and make the best of it. Sitting, and he saw outside the window, and he saw the same two devotees who were fighting the other day, yesterday. He saw them today embracing and hugging each other and offering obeisances to each other. And each of them was telling, Prabhu, please forgive me the way I behave. I'm sorry. I should not behave the way I behaved yesterday. It happened right in front of him, luckily. And this devotee was intelligent. And he said, what I saw yesterday happens all over the world. Fights, disagreements, arguments. But what I saw today happens only in the Hare Krishna movement. So he said, he continued, and he is right now a very active devotee at our temple. So what do we learn? If you simply judge a person just by some behavior, you tag a person, you cannot really, it might be a wrong judgment. Because in a particular time, place, and circumstance, a particular devotee behaves in a particular way. But you just judge him, you might not be judging him rightly. Just like this devotee, if he would have judged these two devotees, he would have been wrong. Lucky for him that, you know, of course, at the same time, devotees should be very, very sensitive to behave in a particular way, especially when you are outside, you know, dealing with, when you are in the public. So this first thing, we should sincerely respect the differences in devotees. Number two, tolerate provocation. A very, very important statement of Srila Prabhupada in the 89th chapter of Krishna book. He says, one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. If you think you are great, you are not great because of some external activities that you perform. But Prabhupada says one's greatness has to be estimated on how one has the ability to tolerate provoking situations. And Prabhupada writes in the same chapter, he says, you know, a lamp can be disturbed by a slight breeze. It blows and the lamp gets disturbed. You have seen that, right? You have a lamp and there's a slight breeze which blows, the lamp gets disturbed and maybe almost going off. But the source of all lamps, the most powerful constant source of illumination, the sun. Even if the whole hurricane comes, a powerful hurricane, but sun will never be disturbed by any of the most powerful breeze blowing, Prabhupada says. So similarly, a devotee should not be like this flame that, you know, he gets disturbed by some behavior. A greatest of a person is how we tolerate provoking situations. There will be so many situations which provoke you. But if you are great, then you are like the ocean. So many waters keep on flowing in you, but you'll remain cool and calm in all situations. And Sri Jiva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam says, most important, that one has to develop faith in the Vedic literatures and understand Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Then one can gradually elevate from the second class, from Kanishtha to Madhyam. Jiva Goswami says, the way you can progress yourself from the Kanishtha to Madhyam is by hearing Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By focusing on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But what happens when you hear? One thing is, I tell you, the Prabhu, please become humble. And you will say, well, thank you for telling me. But when you hear stories of devotees exhibiting amazing levels of humility, then it works much more powerfully in the subtle mind than telling person to be humble. When you see the humility of, say, Sanatana Goswami, not taking the direct path, but walking through the ocean, because he was wanting not to touch any of the sevites of Lord Jagannath, because he felt himself so useless and so untouchable because he served the Mohammedan king. When you hear this, or the humility of Haridas Thakur, when you hear this, the naturally the subtle mind takes this message much more seriously than somebody just telling you, be humble. So similarly, when you hear scriptures and you are constantly bombarded with this high, wonderful philosophy, which is told to us, the behavioral aspect which are told to us in the scriptures, when you keep on hearing Nityam Bhagavad Sevaya, then it acts much more strongly in our heart. And Jiva Goswami says, the most important thing to rise from Kanishtha to Madhyam is to perform one's sadhana very properly. If one does not perform the sadhana properly, then he will remain in the Kanishtha platform. And not only that, he may have risen to the Madhyam platform, but if he does not give heed to his sadhana, there is a good possibility that he might again fall to the Kanishtha platform. So continuous importance to sadhana. That's why many times we, at least I experience in my own life, that we find that we are much better devotees in the past than what I am now. Because unfortunately what happens when you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, we tend to give less and less importance to sadhana. We become senior devotees, so nobody can tell you why you are not there for Mangala Arati. Prabhu, see, I preached, you know, I was preaching till 11 o'clock. How can I be there for Mangala Arati? And you have reasons, and many people will not tell you also. And you are in such a jeopardized situation. Your spiritual life is so jeopardized because nobody tells you, nobody helps you. Your sadhana is going weaker and weaker and weaker. And the only way you can sustain yourself in Madhyama platform is, Jiva Goswami says in the Sandarbhas, the Sata Sandarbhas. He says, continual focus on sadhana bhakti. That is why we have the Goswami saying, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Ganana Timbi. Now the Goswami, he said, Sankhya, whatever they did in scheduled measurements. They were manjaris from the spiritual world, their spontaneous love for Krishna. But when they were Goswamis, they were doing things in scheduled measurements. They were giving time importance to quantity as well as quality. And many times when we think we are senior, we don't give importance to the time that we do our sadhana. But strict sadhana, sitting with devotees, straight back, pronouncing the word properly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Because Nasta Prayashu, Badreshu should happen constantly because there's so much dirt there. So much cleansing is required. So constant attending a Bhagavatam class, focus on sadhana, Jiva Goswami says, is one of the most powerful ways, and of course to tolerate provoking situations, is the most powerful way to really rise from the platform of Kanishtha to the Madhyam. So that is what we wanted to share today on this verse. This verse is so beautifully saying that there could be devotees who could be really very much respectful to devotees and to the deities, and that is very, very good. But till the time we do not develop loving relationship with devotees, and not only just relations, but continually having good relationship with devotees. Till the time Krishna is not going to take us really seriously, and we will remain, to our great surprise, even after spending years and years in Krishna consciousness, we will remain in a Kanishtha platform, and not really relishing the bliss of Krishna consciousness because of a Kanishtha mentality. So I pray to all the devotees that they bless me, that whatever little I have spoken, that I can follow. And because it is easy to speak, but very, very difficult to follow. So that, I myself don't get trapped in this snare of Maya. And we should all learn from this wonderful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so wonderfully, I found this verse very cuttingly honest. It said, but because he's envious of authorized devotees of the Lord is never satisfied with his devotional service. Can you imagine? We are doing all of our devotional service to please the Lord. Everything we are doing, Krishna, I want to please you. But can you imagine, you're doing everything. It's like that boat which is stuck with an anchor, and you are rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing. The party was rowing, and next morning they found it on the same place. Why? Because it was anchored on the shore. They forgot to remove the anchor. Right? So similarly, we could do years, decades of devotional service, but still find ourselves in the same level and not please the Lord at all if we have this Kanishtha mentality. So if we want to really make the best use of being in the spiritual life and making progress in spiritual life and to please Krishna, we need to get out of this Kanishta. And as it should be explained very nicely in the next two verses before this chapter gets over, how important it is to respect the devotees and associate with the devotees and have loving relationship with devotees to really please the Lord. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.